Okay, if you have your Bibles with you, then we're going to read. We're doing a series during the summer on Psalms. So we're on to, we're not doing them all, which is good. So we're doing edited highlights. We're doing Psalm 40 today. So if you have your Bibles, then it'd be great to read together from Psalm 40. Which I think, if you don't have the Bibles, should appear behind me in the big screen. So that might help you as well. Let's read together from the Word of God. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart falls within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord is exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We want to pray that as we take time to think on it and to dwell in it, that you would lift up the word for today for us, that you would bring it to our minds, our hearts, that we may receive from you fresh bread for this day. Feed us, we pray, on your word, for we ask it in your name. Amen. I want to say just some very, very simple things, and I'm going to do it, I hope, reasonably quickly, which is, I know, good. the gospel of Jesus Christ is really, really simple. The good news is really simple. It's that God, the Father, who loves us, has decided that he's going to come and rescue us. He's going to come and save us from the pits, from the problems, from the difficulties that we're in, and he's going to give us a new life. He's going to give us a life of relationship with him, and he's going to give us a life full of purpose, which is actually revealed to us as we are faithful in that relationship. This passage, this psalm, is one which speaks of that new hope. It speaks of that time in David's life when everything was going against him, when everything just felt as though it was just falling apart. He was sort of saying, I feel as though I'm in a pit, I'm in a trap, I'm in a place that I can't get out of. I'm stuck. It's not even as if I can escape. The walls are slimy, I can't get out of them. And it just feels as though I look up and I can see the sunlight, but I can't actually get out. And that was because, for a variety of different reasons, all sorts of different things were going against him. His friends had betrayed him. His family had turned against him. Those who he thought who he had shown great faithfulness to actually had turned against him at that point. And what David felt like at that point was just what he described at the beginning. He felt as though he had fallen into a pit that he couldn't get out of. But God came to rescue him. God came to lift him out of the pit. God came to give him a new hope and a new life. God lifted him from that pit of despair and despondency and put him so that he had his feet again on the solid rock, ready to live, so that he could go forward. Put a new song, a new word in his mouth, so that he could go forward and to accomplish the things that God wanted for him. I was away this week, just visiting down in the. I was away down seeing the guys in New Wine, England, and their conference was on, and had the privilege of listening to the story of a lady called Ruby. And Ruby's story was just incredible, really. I mean, she basically talked about the fact that she was. She talked about how she'd kind of been brought up in a. In a Christian household, actually, she'd been sort of had lots of opportunities, did lots of things, got herself into college, and like many, you know, of the folks that were in college, she'd kind of got herself, you know, involved in drug use and alcohol and all sorts of things. Just having not wild, not kind of crazy or anything, but just you know, she'd kind of got herself into a group that were kind of doing that kind of thing, and for various reasons, she got herself also into a place where she didn't have enough money, and she said. That in that situation, she was basically propositioned by a guy that she met and was told that if she went with this other guy, then she'd get money. And essentially, it was just entering into prostitution. She didn't know that. That wasn't what she called it. That's not what he said it was. But actually, she went because actually she needed the money. She quite liked the guy, and she thought, well, what's the harm? It's not like, you know, that isn't part of my life. And she talked about how that actually just began to... happened, not just, you know, that time, but actually had happened again and again over a period of time. She talks about how actually the pattern which was there, it felt at the beginning, she said, as though she was in control. She felt as though, you know, I could do this or I could not do this. If I wanted to, you know, this is just a choice that I've made. And now that I can do that, well, that's just the way that it is. And I've got some money and I can go and party and that's okay. But then she started sort of saying that after a period of time, it began to not feel as though she was in control. It began to feel as though actually the choices that she had weren't choices where she could just simply say, no, I don't want to do that. Partly because of her addictions, partly because of her debt problems, and partly because as she gave herself in that way to all these different folks in that different situation, her sense of well-being, her sense of worth, her sense of who she was as a person felt as though it was being eroded gradually, bit by bit, over that period of time. And so over that time, she began to really kind of get to the point where she was just really, really struggling. She fell out of college. She wasn't able to continue with that. And she eventually ended up actually working in a brothel. And she talked about the fact that it was there. And during that time, how over a period of a couple of years, she had three abortions and, you know, she just talked about how the thing just got out of hand, continually feeling as though that sense of control that she had was just spiraling away. And that sense of just being completely hopeless and struggling just filled her life more and more and more. She got to the point where she was depressed. She couldn't cope with what was going on. She talked about being desperate. And in that desperation, she remembered her childhood. She remembered the things that she was taught when she was at Sunday school. She remembered that maybe there was something that God could do. And she just talked about the fact that one day, in the midst of all the things that she was going on, in the midst of her feeling so depressed and discouraged and so just completely messed up, she said, I just cried out to God. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to do it, but I just simply cried out to God. I said, God, you know, I know that you're there. I know you're there. I know that I don't deserve anything from you. But if you could help me, please help me. And she then talked about the fact that the next night she had this dream. And in the dream, it was almost exactly like Psalm 40. She talked about the fact that she could see herself in the dream being in this pit. excuse me, and she could see, she looked up and she could see at the top of the pitch, she could see her parents, and her parents were there and her parents were praying for her, but weren't, you know, it didn't feel as though they were rescuing her. They were there, but and then she could see other people, she could see friends and other people at the top, just circling around the top of the thing. And she was just in desperation. She talked about the fact that actually within the dream, she felt as though she was up to her neck in human excrement. She just lay, she described how she just felt as though she was just drowning in the thing. And eventually, you know, she kind of saw somebody, a stranger, just sort of dripping down. She didn't use that word. She was English, so she didn't talk about dripping. But she talked about them dripping down the side of the wall. And she was going, what are you doing? You know, what on earth are you doing? And the guy just kind of kept coming and eventually dropped into the pit beside her. And she said, what are you doing? Now we're both stuck. And the guy turned to her and said, no, it's okay, I know the way out. And she knew, and she said, she knew in her dream that actually she knew that this was Jesus. She knew that there was something, but actually she didn't understand what was going on, she didn't understand what had happened. And the thing that then happened was the most incredible and bizarre thing. The Salvation Army raided her brothel, which the Salvation Army actually apparently have a history of doing. I heard this story. I went and actually kind of checked because there was a Salvation Army person there, and they told the story of how the Salvation Army for years. Actually, they told the story. It was an Australian Salvation Army person that I met who told the story of how Booth actually said, when you go into a new territory, go to the darkest place and then take that place for the kingdom of God. And how actually, at the beginning, 1902, the Australian Salvation Army started. And actually, they started by finding the worst place, which was this kind of local brothel. And basically what happened was they went in with their hats and their uniforms and their bass drum and all, because apparently you need a bass drum to do a brothel raid, and basically what they did was they went into the middle area and they sort of said, any woman that wants to be free from this, come and stand, and we'll take you, and that's actually how the thing started. The Salvation Army started at that point, and the same thing happened to this girl. So this girl had these Salvation Army folks with their uniforms and their bonnets and all the other things that they have, and basically they did the same thing. They went into the kind of the front of this brothel, and they basically sort of said, any girl that wants to be free, we're here, and we'll take you with us. And that's what happened. and Ruby basically stood in the middle of these folks, the Salvation Army folks, kind of like created a wee circle, and she stood right in the middle. I don't know. It sounds a bit of a sort of strange sort of picture to imagine, as they kind of like they all kind of went, right, we've got one, let's edge back out again, you know. So, you know, you know, so, I don't know. I don't quite know if it happened like that. But Ruby then talked about the fact that they took her to a safe house, and then they kind of gave her the opportunity just to kind of get clean from her drugs and supported her during that time, and then began to kind of give her the opportunity to go into independent living and supported accommodation and then food and all that kind of stuff. And she talked about the fact that actually that this Sam was her Sam. She talked about the fact that this story was her story. She talked about the fact that this was her thing. And she said that, and she quoted the scripture that talks about the fact that, you know, that says, you know, that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. And she said, that's what I do now. I rescue people for Jesus. I go and I find people in holes and I lift them out, because that's what he did for me. And it was just one of those incredible kind of moments where you listen to this lady and you just thought, my goodness, that is just incredible. God rescued her. God lifted her out of that miry pit. God put her feet on the rock. God gave her a new song to sing. And the reason for coming to this today is because of the fact that It might not necessarily be that our stories are as extreme as that, but my experience of walking with us as a fellowship and being in this community in White Inch is that many of us have felt exactly like this, that we are in the pit, that we cannot get ourselves out, and that actually we need somebody to rescue us. We need somebody to break all of the chains that hold us in the bottom of this mess that we've got ourselves into, and to lift us up and out. And the great news is that the gospel is really simple, that actually it is true that God does this, that God wants to do this, that God wants to do this for us, and God wants to do this for the people that are living in these communities, in the flats that we can see just now, that God actually wants to do that for us. And for some of us today, that's actually a message that we need to hear. We feel that for whatever reason, we're in that pit, that we just can't get ourselves out. And we need to hear again the fact that God is a God who rescues us. God is a God who is willing to come to get into the pit with us. That's what Jesus did. He came, he took all our sins, he took all of our frailties, he took all of all of the mess of our life. He got in there with us. But the great thing is that he then says, "It's okay, I know the way out." And so that's what the good news is for us today, that actually we can experience that for ourselves. We can experience something of his touch. And that might be from addiction, or it might be through debt, or it might be through depression, or it might be through all sorts of different things. Whatever it is that God's pointing towards today and sort of saying, you know, I can rescue you. Just call out. Then he will come and he will do that. Christianity is really simple. It is about a God who's in love with us, who comes to rescue us, to lift us out of the mighty pit that we find ourselves in, to take us out of that place that we cannot escape from, and to put our foot back on the solid rock. But here's the next thing, and here's the important thing for us to hear. We are not simply put on a solid path so that we can continue to walk along and kind of go, well, that's me, I'm fine. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. It was for freedom for you, and it is for freedom for others as well that he has set you free. That is actually the call that is upon us, that we are people who are called to bring freedom to the captives. We are called to set those who are oppressed free. We're called to lift those out of the mess and mire of life. Like Ruby, we are called not just simply to be redeemed, but to be redeemers. We're called to be those who go forward and to share that good news and to explain that with other folks. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. And it is for freedom for ourselves and freedom for those that we come into contact with that God wants again to speak his word of hope and life through his word, this psalm, to us today. So what we're going to do? What's God going to do with us? Be quiet and just let the Holy Spirit speak to us and take his word and apply it our life. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who rescues. And Lord, we thank you that you're here to rescue today. We thank you that nobody needs to leave from this place feeling that they are in that pit. But instead, Lord God, just by calling out to you, by asking you, that you will come and you will rescue us. You will enter into our pit, into the places where our mess is so clear and so obvious. And we're so grateful that your word to us today is, I know the way out. And I thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have made that way out through the cross, through your loving sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. We thank you that we do not need to live anymore condemned and rejected and far from you, but instead, through your loving sacrifice, you have called us into that new way, that new living relationship with our God and our Father. And we thank you that today we can know that. We can know the peace that comes from that loving union. We can know the joy that comes when we realize you are the one who has come to rescue us. We can know the hope which takes us from the place that we're in, the circumstances that we're in, and shows us that it will not always be like this, because you are with us now. And Lord God, we thank you that not only can you rescue us, but Lord, we thank you that you are the one who calls us to be rescuers as well. We thank you that it was for freedom that we have been set free. It is for freedom for us and for freedom for the folks that we know. And so, Lord God, we take a moment and we think of those who we know who at this moment are, who may be here, may not be here, maybe friends or families, but Lord, who we know are in the pits, are in the very darkest places. And Lord God, these folks, these names, these faces that have just flashed in front of our minds, Lord God, we apply now the word of God to their circumstances, to their situation, and we say that you can rescue them just as you have rescued us. And so, Lord God, we ask that you would give us faith, confidence, and courage to step boldly into that place where we proclaim the good news that God rescues us. And so, Lord God, we pray that you would do all that you need to within us to achieve the purposes and the plans that you've set before us. Lord, I thank you for Ruby. I thank you for a woman set free, rescued, so that she would be everything that you have called her to be. We bless you, Lord, for what you can do with us, just as you did with her. Lord, we ask that you would do this now. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us now as we go into the world to love and to serve you. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and all those that you love, now and forevermore. Bless you guys. Have a great week. If you'd like to be prayed for, then we're here. Happy to pray for folks at the front. Oops.